Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you will open your word to our hearts and our hearts to your word, and give us the strength to obey it and receive it with courage. In Jesus' name, amen. From time to time, we surely all have questions about the reason for certain events in our lives. Why did that particular thing happen? What was the point of that experience, particularly if it's an unpleasant one? We may feel that a particular phase of our lives was rather a waste of time. But then later on, as we look back, we can see how some experiences and events have contributed to our knowledge and understanding, and have equipped us and prepared us for the things that we've been called to do. Sometimes, through our experiences, we're able to help others. Tomorrow, as I've already mentioned in the church calendar, we mark the conversion of St. Paul. And the eve of it seems an appropriate time to focus on Paul and to be both challenged and to encourage by his life. He was known as Saul until after his conversion to Christianity, when he became known by his Roman name, Paul. And he must surely have been able to look back on his life to that point and see how God had been preparing him for the life and work that being a servant of Jesus Christ would demand. In our reading from Acts, we heard Paul's account of that dramatic experience, the one that he had on the road to Damascus. We hear his impersonal account with Jesus and how this changed and reshaped the course of his life. From this, and from his defences before the governors and others, recorded later in the book of Acts, and from his letters to the Christian churches that he founded, we learn that by birth Paul was a Jew, that he was, according to the Jewish custom, circumcised when 8 days old. He was a descendant of the tribe of Benjamin, and as a young man, taught by Gamaliel, a Jewish elder. Later, he himself became a rabbi and a member of the Pharisee party and kept strictly to the Jewish laws. But we also learn that Paul was a Roman citizen, born in the city of Tarsus. Maybe his family settled in Tarsus during the time when many Jews had to leave Palestine because of persecution. Or perhaps they travelled for commercial reasons. We don't really know. But although Paul was first and foremost a Jew, belonging to an Orthodox Jewish family, he was brought up in one of the great cities of the Roman Empire, with a university that was a centre of Greek learning and culture, a stadium famous for its games, and was also a flourishing commercial centre. It's easy to see how this background prepared Paul for his ministry and witness of Jesus, both in the Jewish and in the Gentile world. Surely God had his hands on Paul in his early life, and his experiences were in value later on in his life. A reminder, I think, and an encouragement to us that God prepares us for all that he has for us to do or asks for us. Our lives are there, they are prepared for us. There is so much to learn, and only from God can we be prepared for the tasks ahead of us. But Paul, this remarkable man whom God used to spread the good news far and wide, has much to teach us, I believe. There are 4 points that I would like to emphasize. First, that he was brave. Secondly, he was zealous. Thirdly, he was obedient. And fourthly, he radiated joy. He was brave. Brave in admitting that he was wrong. We first meet Paul, or Saul as he was then, at the stoning of Stephen, the first man recorded in the Bible to be put to death because of his faith in Jesus Christ. Saul approved of Stephen's death. He was a man of authority, for he had permission from the high priest to seek out followers of the way as Christians were known. And it was on his way to Damascus to carry out this task that he met with Jesus, and through the ministry of Ananias was baptized, and as we read, began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. This would have taken great courage. What about those who were travelling with him? He may have had a riot at the change of plans. Or would they think he was mad? And what about the Christians in Damascus and other church leaders? Would they welcome him? Indeed, Ananias, who God sent to him, had been reluctant to go. And there was also, at a later date, as we read, a conspiracy to kill Paul. But his experience of Jesus was real. He had seen, he had heard, he knew for himself who Jesus was, and he had no alternative but to surrender everything to him and to speak boldly for him. Over the years, Paul suffered many hardships and dangers as he preached the gospel. He held on to one truth as he wrote to the Christians at Philippi, "I can do everything through him who gives me strength." To carry out this task, he needed to be brave. But he was zealous. If we look back at Paul's life through the pages of the Bible, we see that there were no half measures with him. When persecuting the followers of the way, he approached the highest authority for permission. And although misguided, he put all his energy into doing what he thought God wanted him to do. Then, following his conversion, he put the same energy into preaching the gospel. As we've already thought, he preached in the synagogue at Damascus at the first opportunity. And then in Jerusalem, he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord and debated with the Grecian Jews. He travelled far and wide on his missionary journeys and was not always welcomed. But having established Christian communities, he made many return visits and wrote letters to encourage and sometimes to rebuke the young Christians. And underlying this zeal was surely his obedience. Obedience to the will of God was a strong characteristic of many men of faith of whom we read about in the Bible, and of course women too. Where there was Noah, who built an ark on dry land despite the ridicule of those around him. Abraham, who obeyed and went out into the unknown at God's command. And now Paul, who, to quote his words in defense to King Agrippa, said, "I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven." Paul knew what God wanted him to do, despite the dangers and difficulties, and he obeyed. And then fourthly, Paul radiated joy. His joy is especially notable as we read his letters to the different churches. Many were written from prison. There is thanksgiving and praise. The Romans, he wrote, "I thank my God for all of you." To the Corinthians, "I always thank God for you and give praise. And praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And in his exhortation to the Christians at Philippi, he said, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your greatness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Paul was surely sharing with them his own experiences of being able to rejoice even in suffering. Late in the letter to the Corinthians, his second letter, he lists some of his experiences: dangers, persecutions, physical suffering. But he rejoices that he knew the Lord's strength even in his weakness. But this joy goes even deeper, for it stems from the knowledge of all that Jesus had done for him on the cross and the forgiveness that he had received. Saul became Paul. He became a new person through his encounter with Jesus Christ. But we might ask ourselves, has our encounter with Jesus Christ had an effect on us? Now, of course, our experiences will be different from one another. Some of us can't remember a time when we did not believe. For some, it will be a time of gradual growth and commitment. While for others, there will be a definite moment of decision. And perhaps even for few, an experience similar to Paul's. But how we came to know Jesus surely does not matter. Paul saw, he heard, and he knew. The important thing is that we have seen, that we have heard, and that we know the truth of the gospel. And if this has been our experience, like Paul, we should surely be brave and zealous in our witness, obedient to what we know God asks of us, confident that he prepares us for the task, and as we carry it out, radiating joy. Joy which comes only from the knowledge of God's love and forgiveness and the presence of Jesus Christ and the power of his Holy Spirit day by day. I'm going to close by reading the collect for the conversion of St. Paul. Almighty God, who has caused the light of the gospel to shine throughout the world through the preaching of your servant Paul, grant that we, who celebrate his wonderful conversion, may follow him in bearing witness to your truth. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.